Thank you. Don Simmons, I'm with the Community Life team, and glad you're part of this workshop today. There are two things, and only two things, in all of life that are going to be eternal, that the Bible says are eternal. And those two things, first of all, is God's Word. In Revelation, it says, God's Word, the grass withers and fades away, but God's Word lasts forever. And God's Word is eternal. It's going to last, go on and on and on. And we also know that people are going to last forever. And so we as community life leaders and life team leaders get to invest our lives in the two things, the only two things that are eternal, people and God's Word. And that's a pretty good responsibility to have, but it's a huge responsibility. And sometimes you start to say, exactly how do I do that? How do I invest in those two things? Because I'm not so sure that I care about those enough to give all of my time and all of my life to those two things, particularly the people part. Now, I'm willing to invest in God's Word and let it change my life and infiltrate my heart. But do I really care for people all that much? In fact, all people. You know, there's this whole phrase that says, everybody's weird except you and me, and sometimes I really worry about you. Because we look at the people that God sends to us in our life groups, go, how am I going to invest in this person or in this couple that brings all of this stuff here? How am I going to do that, and where do I really start? So we looked at what life group leaders need and talked about five big to-dos that you can just keep in mind. And these are to-dos. Now, they lead to other things, meaning that these five big to-dos don't mean that prayer is not important. In fact, they will lead you to pray more effectively. They will lead you to have more information that you can pray better with. That doesn't mean that communication with the people in your life group isn't important, but how do we communicate and exactly what do we do? Because one of the desires that we have is that you communicate with the people in your life group at least once a month in some way outside of the group. Well, what do you say? You know, what do you do? Hey, thanks for coming to life group. And then you just kind of wait, hoping they will say something that will give you your cue for what you're going to say next. And we've got to be prepared to know how to communicate, not just because, you know, I was assigned to communicate with you once a month. And actually, there's nothing worse than calling someone and saying, I want to just check in because I'm a life group leader, and one of the things we do is check in. When you tell people that you're caring on cue, they figure out that you're not really caring. They've got it down. I worked with a fellow once who set an appointment with me once a month. And I would say, so what are we going to do in our time together? And he says, I just need to build a relationship with you, and I fear the best way to do it is have a regular appointment. How nice. I don't want that kind of relationship with you. In fact, if I'm going to have a relationship with you, you don't need an appointment. Find the time and set that up. So when people know that we're doing it because we feel like we have to, then it loses its feeling. It loses touch. God loves us even though he created us. He knows everything about us, but he still wants us to spend time with him, and he wants to spend time with us. So we have to set that time aside and set it apart. So there's a handout where I list out what the five big to-dos are, and they seem pretty simple. A lot of them are no-brainers, but that's why we need to do workshops on things that are no-brainers, just to remind us, oh, yeah, I really should do that. The last time that we were together in training as life group leaders, I talked about communicating with confidence and some real communication tools that you can use. Anybody who was in that remember anything from that? Because the great enemy of learning is not that we're not smart enough, it's just we don't remember. So anybody remember anything out of that? Anything stick?
Don't have anything in front of you when you're talking.
Yeah, don't have anything in front of you when you're talking. Clear the way between you and the people you're trying to communicate with.
Sit up nonverbals. Use nonverbals to your advantage to engage.
Use nonverbals to your advantage to engage. Look at their body language. Pay attention to things because the words are just part of the communication. It gets really quiet when you're asked to remember how long ago was that.
The atmosphere of the room.
The atmosphere of the room. You are in control of your space. and make sure that you set up the control. And it's really a good thing. It's one of the things that teachers learn is you be in control of the space that you have. What's behind you? What's in front of you? Where are people going to pay attention when they're not really listening to you? What are they going to be looking at? If you've got anything they can read or count that's near you or behind you, trust me, they will. You will. And from elementary school students, especially to adults, they will find something else to look at, particularly when their mind wants to think about what you're saying, but you're a little bothersome to look at. And they'll get distracted. And what we're trying to do is communicate without distraction. Communicate in a way that they're not so caught up with what's written on your shirt or what is written on the poster behind you or that picture that's back there. So you're in control. So keeping those things in mind on communicating with confidence, but also how do we listen so that people will communicate with us? Yeah, I think that the essence of being a life group leader is not necessarily being a great communicator, but being a better listener. And the best life group leaders know how to listen to people and know how to keep in mind what people are saying to them. So if you'll go to your handout, let me walk through a couple of things that are real points here. After each meeting, or really after each time that you spend the time you spend with a member of your life group, evaluate. Who did the most talking in that? That's just a pretty simple mental thing to do. I just had a conversation with someone. You walk away from, you think, did I talk more or did they talk more? And if you don't know how to ask questions to help them talk more and ask some questions where you will actually deliberately get more than a yes or no answer, then they're not going to give you much more information. Those of you who are parents in here, you know how to ask your kids questions that they will answer. And you also know the ones that they're just going to grunt and not give you any response to. Teachers, you know what to say. I'm talking. You've got to think about, do I want to have a conversation with this person or do I want them to hear me? And there's a big difference in that. In 1 Samuel, the writer there says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. What we want our people in our life groups to do is speak and let them know that we're listening, because we're never going to be able to pray effectively for them if we're not really listening to them. The second part of this is practice some active listening skills. In the last workshop, we talked about communicate using direct eye contact with people. Have direct eye contact. If you're listening, you want to make sure that you also have that direct eye contact. They know you're paying attention to them. So if you're wearing sunglasses, take them off. Your cell phone is so handy and they know that at any moment what I'm saying to you is going to be interrupted by that cell phone, let them know, I'm turning this off now. I want to listen to you. I'm not just putting it on vibrate, because if it's on vibrate, that means you're waiting for your pants to ring. There's something else that's going to take you away. Let them know, you're the only thing that matters to me right now. That's it. One of the issues in life groups is they say, I went, but no, it really didn't seem to matter if I was there. Nobody even heard me. And so you have to practice ways so that you're sitting with a person in your life group and you know actively that they're listening. So simple, really easy things to do is repeat what they say to see if that's actually what they've said to you. That lets them know in active listening. So a phrase like, so you're saying, did I hear you say, you're thinking, am I tracking with you? And repeat after them. So let's do a little bit of role play here so I don't do all the talking. Find a partner. Everybody turn. If you're married to the person sitting by you, find another partner. We can improve your marriage in other workshops. This is not the... Find a partner. And so here are the instructions. The person in the life group who you think is the tallest person in your partnering right here, the tallest person is the talker. And you as the talker Tell them about the experience in your life group and how you want it to be better, how you're just not getting everything out of it. And what I want you to do as the listener is reflect that back to them using some real active learning words, like, do I hear you saying? Am I tracking? Are you saying that? Remember, you're not solving, you're listening. Okay? If you're the tallest person in the group, you're the talker and you're explaining. The other person, you're listening. Go. Okay, stop. Now, let me try keeping the same partners in their same roles again. What I want you to do now is practice what is one of the behaviors that we all do from time to time, and that's called pregnant thinking, meaning they're telling you something about their activity in your life group, and you can't wait to communicate a bit of information to them, meaning it's about to come. And so what I want you to do is just practice to see how that feels, because we all do it. Meaning you're telling them about your situation in the life group, but the person who's listening is ready to tell you, to give you some information that's really important to them. So that's called pregnant thinking. Give it a shot and see how it feels. Okay. Stop. Now, what's it feel like when you know that the person... what's just waiting to give you information? How does it feel?
They're not listening.
They don't care.
Or they're not empathizing with you. They're just trying to fix you.
Or they're trying to defend themselves.
Yep.
Or they're trying to shut the other person up.
Okay. Please make it stop. Yeah. All of those things, you can do that so easily because, particularly if you're the leader, I have things I need to accomplish. And that's where we have to start shifting our thinking from, I'm not here to accomplish a task as a life group leader. I'm here to accomplish people. And the most important thing that I can do, because this person is eternal, is to listen to them no matter how painful it might get. Listen. And some of you really were doing a great job. Your heads were bobbing. You were listening. You were nodding. If you just are really, really still when someone's talking to you, they don't know if you're in a coma. Or if, and trust me, I know comas. Or if you're actually really paying attention to them. Yeah. So nod along with people. Look at them. At some point, actually kind of turn your body where you're facing them more directly. Active listening is your whole body being engaged with them. And as life group leaders, sometimes we're sitting apart from people and we're not sure that, and they're looking at you wondering, okay, they're over on the other side of the circle. Do they have any idea what I'm saying? Because they're talking and you're wondering, how do I get this to end so I can get to what I want to accomplish? That's the difference between being curriculum-based and being people-based. And our life groups are so important in spiritual development for life-transforming relationships. We've got to focus on being people-based. So following active listening skills, the next part of it is be fully engaged, meaning there's nothing else that's more important than that conversation. And if you've got 5 or 6 people with you, that's really hard to do, to be fully engaged with that person at the time. In my work, I have to do a lot of conference calls, and I will honestly, I hate conference calls. And so I find myself now on the conference call with 4 other people in other places, and I'll sit at my computer and check my email while I'm doing the conference call. Well, there are a couple of people who know what the sound of the computer clicking sounds like on the line. You know, who's checking their email? And inevitably, several of us will go, I am. Meaning, whatever we're supposed to be doing on that call, that's not where we are. Well, in a life group, that becomes even more important. You're doing something else in your head instead of listening to them. You're mentally checking your email. What do I have to do after this? All right, where do I go next? The book says, oh, okay, Life Journal, I'm not quite sure where we are. Is that Ezekiel 36 or Ezekiel? And you'll be doing it, but be fully engaged. That helps a lot with when you have full eye contact with the person. That helps a lot when you move in closer proximity, when you're nodding, and when you're reflecting back, did I hear you just say? Rather than trying to fix. Next, listen to everything. Simply eavesdrop. when people are coming in and they're getting seated and they're saying hello, you as the life people leader, listen, have your antenna up so that you hear what they're saying. If they're in small group prayer, try to listen to what people are praying for. Because a lot of the best information that we as life group leaders have is not going to come from direct conversation. It's what you heard. And so listen as people are getting coming in and getting settled. Those of you who like to, who have food and drinks for your group, don't have everything ready. In fact, have some things that if people get there first or really early that they can help you do. Always set aside some good tasks for people to help you with, because the better conversations are going to be while you're doing something else. Meaning they're putting ice in the glasses, they're pouring the drinks, they're setting something up in the kitchen, they're slicing the cheese. Don't have it all done. Give people a reason to have conversation together, because if you've got it all done, no, and we like to do that. We feel like we're a good host or hostess. Oh, it's all settled. Now, that little Martha Stewart tip there for you. Don't have it all ready. Listen to everything. Keep your antenna up. And then next, slow down the pace so that you can fully listen. And you actually look at people sometimes go, slow down a little. I want to get what you're saying. Nodding and helping slow the pace down a little so you can really hear what they're saying. You know how people just like to vomit it all? Pretty quickly, I didn't get any of that. Your dog died and your mother is sick and you're failing, a class and you're broke. Okay, let's back up. And listen to the chunks of information and what's going to really make a difference in the conversation. I could spend a lot of time on that. Let them know you're listening to the conversation by remembering what they said. We were talking last night in the group and you mentioned, or last week you said something about, and that's, as Jared said in his workshop, write some notes down. If you're going to shepherd people, write down this is going on in their life so that you can come back. Yes, they write down prayer requests. I think you talked about having people write the prayer request down. Frequently mention them. Come back to it. And people will then start to know, wow, what I say here, somebody's actually going to listen to. Because making relational connections as we become a church that's further and further apart from each other, you've got to let people know, I heard you. I know that matters to you. And remembering it, you use some cue cards, whatever it takes to remember. Next, be grateful for the privilege of the journey together. And a lot of times there are things that people tell us and you think, I don't want to carry that for you. That's an awful lot. We have to always be grateful that here's an eternal creation of God who's willing to tell you something that matters to them. Even though right now it may not matter to you, be grateful for the journey together. Be grateful I can carry that with you, for opening the door and they let you actually see a part of their lives. Be grateful for it. Have this attitude of being grateful for all those little things that they tell you. We think, well, I'm certainly glad that's not my life. But listen instead so you can hear what matters to them. Let me stop there. Comments or questions about anything said so far about the whole listening process? It's the biggest to-do for a life group leader. It's be a better listener than you are a talker.
I just had a question about the long-winded ones that like to talk about what's going on in their life and stuff and how you need to let them talk but yet still stick to your curriculum so that you don't, as a group, don't get behind.
Right.
How would you constructively, kind of move on?
That's a great question. The first thing is learn the art of compassionate interruption. Okay. And that is, wow, you've got a lot of thoughts about that. We want to hear some other people. And I'd love to talk to you more about that after when we're done. That's great. You have a lot of questions on that issue. Can we meet a little later to talk about that? I wouldn't suggest emailing because if it's going to be an email conversation, you can get also called into an eternal cycle of of emails, and sometimes the person just needs to talk. And so the next big to-do we'll get to will help some of that. But find a way to interrupt, you know, and the long-winded person isn't there. And then gently remind them as you're starting the conversation, we won't hear from everyone. Let's be mindful how many people are here, that there are five people in the group. We'd like to hear from all of you. I'm sure all of you have thoughts. Does that help?
Mm-hmm, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
Uh-huh. All of a sudden, they butt in, and I look at her and think she's just completely worthless to them because they came in and told their story. It's gone in a totally different direction. And because I noticed that, I came back to her after they were done with what their things were. I came back and I said, "You started to say you were having this issue."
Excellent. Yeah.
So that she didn't
note it.
Come back, note it, bring it back to the person who hasn't been talking as much, and give them an opportunity. And then that's where you coach some of the other members of the group on the offline and say, we didn't get to hear from Jennifer enough. And can you help me to bring some more of that out? I think she has some good things to say, or I think she's got some questions. Will you help me to do that? So you've got, as a leader, an ally in the group that will help bring the quieter person out. Don't try to do it by yourself. But what you did was great. Anything else? Jared, do you want to add anything on that? Okay. Let's move to the next one. A big to-do. Work in smaller, more intimate subgroups. If you've got six people in a life group, you've got three more than you can actually get to. Because people don't like to have conversations in those big groups. So let's try a little experiment here. If you'll just count off to seven, and start with Jen, count off to seven. And then we're going to form as many groups of seven as we have.
One, two,
Darlene.
Three, four, five, six. Seven.
Okay, you're the first group. Travis.
Two, three, four, six, five,
six. So that's the second group, and you guys hang on. You get to do something else. Okay, I'm going to give you a few minutes, and what I want you to do in your groups of seven is, starting with number one, I want you to just tell about your worst experience in a life group and why it just wasn't a good experience for you. What's your worst experience in a life group? Maybe not here at the well, but somewhere else. Okay, stop. That was 4.5 minutes. How many people did you get through in this group? To what number?
Three.
What number in your,
Two.
Okay. If our idea is to listen to everybody, the groups are too big. And so learn how to have a question. We're going to talk about this passage. Break it down into smaller groups. We want to form trios, duos. People are much more willing to talk when they're not doing it with a larger group. Turn it around. And the only way that you'll really identify future leaders is you see how they do in a trio. You see how they do in a duo. Who's leading that? Who's asking good questions? A big to-do is to take whatever size group you have and break it down into subgroups. Turn them. Often say, turn to two other people. Turn to duos. Group publishing has this horrible little phrase called pair shares. Sounds so queer, but do a pair share. Find a way that people can turn and talk to each other in smaller groups. You won't remember what six people said. You barely remember what three people say. But if you have something to say, if we're going to really listen and care for each other, do smaller subgroups. That'll help you to identify leaders. That'll help you to see who's going to rise up and be a next life group leader for you. Next, focus on bite-sized bits of information. Sometimes we get really excited because this passage has so much good stuff in it. That's my second point there. Don't become fascinated with the volume of good information. People aren't going to remember it. And sometimes when we go through so much information in a passage, find one key point, not four key points. Let people walk away. What did you see as the key point of this chapter we just looked at? And if you're doing a book study or working through the life journals, the one key point, not three of them, is going to be key. Now, take an eternal view of the relationship with people. They're going to last forever. You're not going to be the only person who pours into their life. Leave something left for somebody else. Let another relationship open another part of that passage up. Trust that they're in other life-changing relationships so that somebody else mentions something to them. Just because you've opened a passage or opened a chapter doesn't mean you got to cover it all. Keep it in bite-sized chunks. A common conception for people about being in small groups is they try to do too much in too short a length of time. You only have a few weeks. Don't bite off more than any person can remember, much less chew. Next, encourage self-feeding. If you give them all the information and don't tell them where they can look this up, find it, go look somewhere. Encourage them to feed themselves rather than giving them all the information. I always want to encourage you to leave them curious, not satiated. Don't satisfy them completely. Leave them curious. Leave them wondering about certain things. So wondering enough that they'll go and find it out on their own. I have no idea why he said that, or I don't know what that really meant. Look it up. Help them to know where they can find resources. Talk to somebody else. If you're confused about what this means, and in the next 3 days, find someone else to talk to about this. Here are some resources. Next, develop a covenant with a group. And this is a big to-do. Covenants are promises you make on how we're going to be with each other. I say write them down as much as possible. What's our group covenant? Make some decisions about behaviors. I like to have a flip chart or something where you can say, all right, well, we want to do just a short mini covenant on how we're going to be together. Let's imagine that we're a life group. And this is our second meeting, and we know each other's names. What do we want to be sure that, how are we going to behave with each other? What are some things we want to keep in mind? Throw some things out. Okay? Okay. Confidentiality. Visible ink, yeah. All right. Right two. Let's confidentiality, all right? What else? What's something else we want to keep in mind? Okay. Get to some nuts and bolts. Okay, be on time. Okay, finish on time.
Group concept.
What does that mean?
What we're going to discuss. The outline.
Okay.
Commitment.
To what? Yeah, a covenant is behaviors. It's not this kind of floating thing. It's commitment. It's very specific in terms of its behavior. Okay, if you say we're going to pray together, we want to open and close our meetings with prayer. We want to, if you're not going to be on time, call somebody. If you're not going to be here, let somebody else in the group know. It's very specific behaviors. Without covenants, people float. And you increase and raise the level of importance in their lives when there is just a brief covenant. And people say, do we all agree with the covenant? Do we need to renegotiate that? And then if a person is kind of flaking, they're not abandoning you. They're leaving the covenant. And you've got something to address with them. Remember, we're accomplishing people, not task. And so these are people skills. So have a basic covenant and negotiate it and talk to or review it frequently. Focus on the behaviors, not the attitudes. Do it with the group. The worst covenants are the ones that the leader says, I wrote some things down that I want to have the group to do. And let me now impose them on you. This is what we want. Let them create them. People will care for what they birth. And so let them be a part of the birthing process. Next, regularly evaluate with the group. Do what are called fast-track evaluations. When you're at the end of your group and you pray, Can we just spend a couple of minutes and evaluate how the meeting went? There are three parts of a fast-track evaluation. I like to do them on... I'm throwing things down here. I like to do them where I write just on a piece of paper three words. Stop, start, and continue. Okay, we've just had a great group. What are some things we need to stop doing? And people, when you do it at the end of it, will tell you pretty quickly, stop so-and-so. What do we need to start doing? I wish we would spend more time in the passage, less time in the conversation. What do we need to continue? What was working so well that we want to keep it going? And then if you write them down, and everybody can see them, they'll start to say, that makes sense. But the key is, once you evaluate, do something with it. If people have told you to stop doing so-and-so, then stop it. If people have told you to start, we should try this. We think we should. Then start. But without the evaluation, it seems like I really don't care what the people who are participating in this group think. And you just, I'm going to go on in my way and do it the way I think is best without it heeding anything. Stop, start, and continue is the easiest thing that tool that I can think of right now. You might have another way to do it, but don't leave without evaluating. So it's pretty simple. You can do that on index cards. You can do it on a whiteboard, on a flip chart, just a piece of paper. Pretty simple, fast-track evaluation. Stop, start, and continue.
In every meeting,
yeah. The first meeting, probably not, because they don't know each other well enough and they're not even sure what this is going to be. But by the time you get to the second meeting, let them know that evaluation is a value you have. We want to keep getting better in how we do this. And people will give you information pretty freely. Stop, start, and continue is so simple once you've got some ringers who know what to do with that. Darlene, what was some behavior like they'd want to stop in your group?
I think, spending too much time on answering the questions and not enough time reading and really absorbing what the scripture said.
Okay.
You would get really long notes on those.
All right. Here's one, a start from my last life group I led. The guy said, start praying more and doing the study less. Yeah, we are at a point in our lives where we want to pray with other guys. And so it's okay to switch the schedule, spend the bulk of time praying. And as a leader, I'm like, really? Because that wasn't what I was thinking. But if your whole group says, do this, start, pay attention. And then a continue is, I like where we are. Let's stay on this path. But if you've got to pay attention to it. Do it conversationally. If you announce we're now going to evaluate, most people go, oh, do we have time to do that? That's really not what I want. Just say, hey, how did tonight feel for you? Check in. Anything we need to stop? Anything we need to start? Anything to continue? Do it pretty fast. And let them know that you're going to pay attention to it. Don't forget to honor the evaluations. Then I listed some resources for you, and they're up here if you want to take a look at them. M. Griffin's book called Getting Together is an old classic, and it's got some great things to help those people who overtalk, who don't talk enough. It's got some good tips about listening and good listening skills. You can get it online. I just saw paperback copies. You can get it now for $2.99. It's a great one, and they're listed at the bottom of your handout. The Celtic Way of Evangelism is good for starting conversations and asking some probing questions instead of being very direct about things. And so I highly encourage that one. And then the other two, the Bodybuilding Guide to Community and a brand new book called Outflow. And those are some ideas for things you can do in your group for the outreach part and for the missional elements of your group. And it gives some ideas of how to do that. One of the chapters in there is about men's groups based around movies. Having men's movie nights so that the movie prompts the conversations to have about Scripture. So those are some resources. Let me stop here and say, do you have any questions? Anything stick you heard so far? This is how I do evaluations, is what stuck and what's stuck, meaning what's stuck in your head, what you remember is key, and then what maybe isn't clear, what's stuck.
There's a continuity of being flexible. feel we come here and we've got to feel like, you know, we get rolling. And a lot of times it's God's giving you the people you need to spend time with. And as long as, you know, we honor the relationship and let them drive it more than us, there's a flexibility that comes. I felt that weave through all five things that I really like.
Good. And since Dan's been with sheep too, the importance of listening to your sheep is so key. Knowing which is a cry for help and which is just a cry. Knowing which is I'm in trouble and which is also I just want to talk. And you get that when you get used to hearing the sheep. And having good conversations with people when they're not in crisis will help you to be able to gauge when it really is difficult and when it really is tough. Some people talk so much you can't tell the difference. But know the voice well enough to know the cries. Anything else stuck for you?
Probably best life groups come. The best you can get out of life groups, maybe everybody gets some friendships after the life groups.
Yeah, building the relationships is key. So in those five to-dos, you start to build relationships when there's give and take and the listening and the communicating. Yeah, when there's an intentionality about a covenant, and it's simple, you negotiate it, you talk about those things. The groups that I have not enjoyed the most are the ones who were so flexible, they didn't have a covenant at all, and you weren't quite sure if you didn't show up, if it mattered or not. Because I didn't promise anything. I have nothing to be committed to. A covenant gives you something to be committed to. God thought that covenants were so important, he gave them in a variety of forms, on rocks, in words, and then his final covenant says, I'm putting it in blood. And here's a new one for you. And so it should be important for us with other believers to make covenants, sometimes in rocks and sometimes with our very lives. I promise you these things. So, Jared, turn it over to you for some questions and answers.
Yeah.